We're in the quadrant of home specialists providing smart value. So it doesn't mean cheap or inexpensive products. It means the best product for the money that the customer is willing to spend.
Welcome to Retail Gets Real, where we hear from retail's most fascinating leaders about the industry that impacts everyone, everywhere, every day. I'm Bill Thorne from the National Retail Federation, and on today's episode, we're talking with Jonathan Johnson, CEO of Overstock.com. We're going to talk to Jonathan about his background as a corporate lawyer before joining Overstock.com, leading the company's recent transition to an online furnishings-only retailer, and what the future of retail and Overstock.com look like. So let's just welcome Jonathan Johnson. Welcome to Retail Gets Real.
Thank you, Bill. It's great to be on your show.
I would like to start where you normally would have to start in a conversation by maybe finding out a little bit more about your career and your transition to retail.
Well, as you noted, I started out as a corporate attorney doing M&A work for big international clients. Enjoyed that because it was deal work. It was finding win-win situations for clients and their counterparts. And then after 5 or so years of doing that, I joined a small software startup company that was about to go public as its general counsel. Enjoyed that during the boom of the internet bubble, but not so much during the bust of the internet bubble. From there, a little over 20 years ago, joined a small retailer known as Overstock.com. It was at that point a liquidator that had just moved its business model online. I had only been here a few months when I was working, asked to review a contract for a request for proposal from Palm Pilot, the maker of what we used to have as personal digital assistants. And they had been liquidating their product through one channel and wanted to see if they could do better with another channel. And that request for proposal came to me, and I asked our CEO at the time if I could captain that project. And he said, well, gee, what do you know about receiving merchandising, marketing, testing, and all the things that were involved in this request for proposal? And I said, well, I know a little bit about all those things, but not a lot. But I do think that this project needs some adult supervision. And he said, okay, if you're willing to be that adult in the room, let's see if we can't win this. And we won the request for proposal. We won the bake-off against the incumbent. And it was shortly after that that I was asked to join the senior executive team and take off a lawyer's cap and put on a business cap, and have loved being at Overstock for the 20-plus years I've been here.
20-plus years. I mean, you've seen a lot change during that period of time. And you think about dot-com businesses. To you, I mean, given your perspective, given where you've been, where you are, and where you think this is going in retail, what is one of the biggest changes that really has kind of stuck with you?
Well, there's so many. And I think of Overstock morphing from a liquidator, you know, that would sell last year's goods to a general merchandiser to today where we are, where we're a first run, first rate home furniture and home furnishings company. So we've morphed as a company. I think 20 years ago, customers would call us unwilling to put their credit card information on, enter it online, and more willing to give it over the phone to a customer service representative. That's certainly changed. The customer's expectations on speed of delivery, ability to return product, what they expect to be able to learn about a product on the site through pictures and reviews and other things have changed a lot. But I think all of that change has been for the good because the customers are the winner because they have more information to make good purchasing decisions.
Yeah, for sure. It is interesting because we talk a lot at NRF about change. The pace of change, innovation, technology, everything that's really driving the industry, driving the consumer. If you want to be in retail, You have two choices. You can accept change and drive it and run with it and succeed as a result of it, or you can resist it, get angry about it, push back on it, lead others in that cause, and you just have to leave. So, I mean, change is inherent to the industry. And so you made a pretty big change. I mean, your strategy of shifting the focus from general merchandise to furniture only. I mean, how did that come about?
Yeah, no, that's a great question. You know, our business had been growing that way. And when I became the CEO about 3.5 years ago, about 80% of our revenue was from the home business. Now, that means 20%, which is a significant sum, was not. And we looked at our customer base, what they were buying, and our customers who purchased home shopped at our site more, came to our site more frequently, converted, meaning they made a purchase more frequently, and their average order size was bigger. And so we made a decision in order to lean more into home to turn off the rest of our business, which was taking 20% of our revenue and over 6 quarters slowly turning that off.
Right.
That finished at the end of the second quarter in 2022. We think that was a good decision. It's helped us find more suppliers in the home space who weren't as willing to work with us in the past because they didn't want their product next to clothes or next to jewelry and watches. Now they know who we are. They're more willing and eager to sell to us. So the timing of it wasn't great as the economy for home goods has slowed down, but we still think it was the right decision and in the long run will be very beneficial for us.
Yeah, you always have to look at the long run. But you have to distinguish yourself from competitors. How is Overstock doing that? How are you really distinguishing yourself from competitors in this space?
So when we look at our competitors in the online home furnishing and furniture business, there's really two axes that we see them. There's general merchandisers who also play in home, and you can think of Amazon or Walmart, Target in that space. And then you can think of home specialists. And the other axis to look at is, are they more inspirational or are they more smart value, really providing a deal? And we think we're in the quadrant of home specialists providing smart value. So it doesn't mean cheap or inexpensive products. It means the best product for the money that the customer is willing to spend. And so if that's the value on a $150 sofa, we've got the best value there. If it's on a $1,500 sofa, we can provide the highest quality for that price. And that's where we play. And that's where we try and distinguish ourselves in one regard. The other regard is we really focus on two demographics of customers. One is someone we call the savvy shopper. And she loves to shop. She loves to find a deal. And she is value-oriented. And so playing to this smart value notion is great for her. The other customer we look at is someone we call the reluctant refresher who knows what she wants but is not a particularly enthusiastic shopper. When she shops, she wants easy product findability. She wants easy delivery and support post-purchase. And so when we look at our three brand pillars that we work on, which are product findability, smart value, and easy delivery and support, they all funnel into these two customers, the savvy shopper and the reluctant refresher.
Laughing because I'm a buyer. I'm not a shopper. I need a blue shirt. I go to the store. I go to the shirts. I find my size. I go to the cash register and I leave. That's it. I don't look for a tie that accompanies the shirt, maybe socks because of the other ones. I mean, I'm not a shopper, but I am a buyer.
You are our reluctant refresher. And when you come looking for something at Overstock, we want it to be easy for you to find it.
Thank you.
I want you to like the price. And
Thank you.
Post-purchase experience to be just right.
And I'll be back. Trust me. You provide all of that, you got me. So, you know, these are interesting times for retail. It's interesting times for the consumer because of the economy, and a lot of headwinds, a lot of uncertainty. What is that? Are you seeing an impact of inflation or the economy of this uncertainty in your segment of the industry, of the retail industry?
Oh, there's no question. Interest, in particular, mortgage rates have risen. People are moving less. And, you know, in our space, when people move, they redo rooms. And that's good for us. And so what we've seen over the last several quarters is more remodeling. You know? So we see that in what people are buying. They're buying bathroom vanities. They're buying storage and organizational products, things that make their current home better. The other thing that we've really seen in this economy is people are looking for value. They're trying to stretch their dollar just a little bit further. And so they're a little more reluctant to spend. They spend when there's a good promotion. And as a high-low retailer, that's kind of our business is promotions. But during the non-promotional periods, they're harder to get them to come in. And so things like President's Day, which, you know, was a month or two in the past, and Memorial Day, which is coming up, which it, both those are typically pretty high home furnishing and furniture buy periods, are all the more important when promotions are key.
And we had a meeting just before President's Day, and somebody in the meeting said, who's buying furniture this weekend? Golly, I mean, it really is kind of like, you think about President's Day, I always think about furniture. It wasn't an odd question at all. Memorial Day, those are furniture days.
They are, and it's, you know, it's kind of, Memorial Day in particular tends to be the final kickoff of the outdoor patio season. We're starting to kick it off, and people, you know, are thinking about barbecues and those things, and that's, we start selling before then, but on Memorial Day, that's when the deals come and things really start.
Mobile orders, including on the Overstock app, they've been growing rapidly. What other digital and technology investments could we see Overstock using in the future?
Yeah, so you're right to note that our mobile app is flourishing. It's now our fastest growing channel. It's a way we can talk to customers. They look at our site, we can give them special deals. And so I think that's been a big thing for us. We're always looking for new and innovative ways to enhance the customer experience. And I think you'll see more use of artificial intelligence. And I think that could be in the form of product descriptions getting sharper and better. And we've begun to experiment, just the beginnings of experimenting with virtual shopping. So I see a day in the future when you're able to send us pictures that we use to download the rooms in your home, and you can take product from our site, kind of shift it around, put it in your room, and your room becomes the virtual showroom for what you want to buy. And so I think those things are still in the future, but those are innovations that we're looking to advance.
Yeah.
The other thing I would say that it's been a good way for us to better communicate with our customer is we've recently announced a new co-branded credit card where we partnered with Citi that offers more loyalty rewards, not just when shopping on our site, but rewards that can be earned when buying gas or shopping elsewhere to then spend on Overstock.
Do you ever get out of a technology meeting or a meeting about advances or innovations in technology and escape the words metaverse?
No. Metaverse, always discussed, and we need to figure out how to use those. And in fact, you know, one of our board members at Overstock, Barbara Messing, is the chief marketing officer at Roblox. So she lives in the metaverse.
She does.
You know, it's nice to get her perspective on where it's going, and whether it's actual merchandising or virtual merchandising, merch or birch, it's going to go one of those, it's going to go both those directions.
Yeah. It is interesting to me. I mean, metaverse is, it's not as new as it was a year ago, but I mean, it is a big topic of conversation. You bring three retailers together, and within probably the first 20 minutes, the words metaverse come out of somebody's mouth. And it's just like, wow, here we go.
And often not knowing what it means.
Correct.
How to capitalize on it. I still think we're in the very early learning phase.
Yep.
And it feels more branding oriented right now. but ultimately will become a merchandising play.
Yeah. So from metaverse to physical store, do you see any physical retail being a part of the future for Overstock?
Not immediately. We really like our asset-light business model. We don't own much inventory. We have a vast network of supplier partners who supply and ship for us. I think ultimately, if we were to let the gods of economics whisper in our ears that omnichannel is probably the place to be, I think the way we probably enter it is a partnership with a brick and mortar store where our customers can make returns there, drive traffic maybe to their stores, and there's some partnership much like Amazon and Kohl's did at one point.
I think
that's probably where we enter physical stores without getting too heavy.
Yeah. It's not a crystal ball question, but you know, you're in it, you see it, you're talking about it, you live it every single day. What excites you most about the future of retail writ large?
I think it continues to migrate online. And as an online retailer, that excites me. I think the pandemic, particularly in the home space, accelerated that migration, and it kind of taken a pause in the year after the pandemic as people got back outside. But I think that that migration continues to happen. I think it gets easier for customers to find what they like, to return what they don't like. And so our vision is simply stated, making dream homes come true.
I like that.
I revise it, making dream homes come true. That's what excites me, is that we can help people, regardless of their income level, through our smart value, make their dream homes come true.
Yeah. A lot of what we talk about at the NRF is people coming into this business, how people perceive this business. We have a wonderful foundation that does extraordinary work in educating people about the advantage of working in retail and creating careers in retail. But what is the best piece? I mean, you've had quite an interesting background, but what is the best piece of career advice that you've ever received?
Well, there's two pieces. The one is you have to be a constant learner because, as we noted earlier in this chat, things change. You know, when I was in law school, e-commerce wasn't a thing. When I was the president of Overstock 12 years ago, blockchain wasn't a thing and cryptocurrency wasn't a thing. And, you know, we accept Bitcoin as a payment method. There's always things that are changing. The metaverse is a relatively new thing. So it's you have to be a continual learner, because what you're going to be doing 5, 10, and certainly 20 years from now may not exist.
Right.
But the simplest advice that I got that's really kind of been the North Star for my career is, my dad said to me when I started out, he said, "Johnny, you're going to be successful if you make your boss's life easier." And when I think of the people who report to me, those that bring problems to me without solutions, that's tough. But people who bring problems with proposed solutions, who make my life easier, those are the people that succeed and continue to grow in their careers.
Well, I always tell folks here, 95% of your job is managing up and making sure that you anticipate and that you're ready with that solution. It's not just the problem. It's saying, there's an issue, and here's how I think we can resolve the issue. So that's great career advice. Jonathan Johnson, it has been a tremendous pleasure talking with you. I wish you all of the best with Overstock's, where they are today, where they're going. I'm going to be watching very, very closely, and I really appreciate you joining us today.
Bill, thank you for having me, and thank you for all that the National Retail Federation does for our industry. You make a difference, that's for sure.
Well, thank you. That's very kind of you to say. And thank all of you all for listening to another episode of Retail Gets Real. You can find more information about this episode at retailgetsreal.com. I'm Bill Thorne. This is Retail Gets Real. Thanks for listening. Until next time.